This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin with me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. We begin with Air Asia. Its stocks are flying high. Flying high, no pun intended. It's, in fact, the title of Tan Sri Tony Fernandez's new biography or autobiography.
Yeah, so Air Asia Berhad shares were in active trade yesterday after Tan Sri Tony assured that the budget airline will stick to its promise to reward shareholders with special dividends. So the stock rose 16 cent or like 5% to RM3.34, giving the budget airline a market cap of nearly 11.2 billion ringgit. And this is their biggest daily percentage rise since May. And the stock is up 46% year to date from RM2.29 earlier this year.
Also, the question is, you know, of dividends and the sale of these non-flying assets. What do we know about this? I mean, is there a number on the dividend payout?
Yeah, he did not give details on the special dividend, but analysts at Kenanga Investment said that it could be up to 11 cent a share after his recent JV deal with SATS Ground Services Singapore for ground hailing services in Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines, and with third-party airlines. So Air Asia has a dividend policy of 20%, and although they didn't reveal how much they want to pay in special dividends, Tan Sri Tony did say, however, that he gave details that they plan to on how they plan to fund this.
Right. I think, well, essentially, the story here is that Air Asia plans to sell more of its stakes in non-flying businesses to basically fund those special dividends. I believe it'll be on top of their existing dividend policy of, what, 20% of the net operating profit earnings per share.
But so, in hand, it must be asked, I mean, do you sell assets for non-business reasons purely to fund dividends? I mean, I think, is it there you're selling assets that might, in fact, be making you money? I mean, there must be a business rationale to it, right?
I mean, I would think that the business rationale here is consolidating and focusing on your core business, right? So, you know, a focus on the flying, you know. I mean, he has made comments in the past about trying to make Air Asia this supermarket in the sky. You know, he emphasizes ancillary income, you know, extensively, right? But
so is this a turnaround then? Is it a kind of pivot away from a policy that he stated recently and now saying, well, now we don't want this policy. We're not going to be a supermarket in the sky or coffee shop in the sky or whatever it is. And now we're going to just be fly. We're just going to fly.
Well, I guess instead of stretching themselves and also further across the supply chain, they're going to focus on the flying. You know, obviously, AirAsia shareholders, at least judging by yesterday's movements, you know, are totally fine with however those dividends come from.
Sharad, what you're questioning is that are they selling it just to fund dividends, or could it be other reasons as well, perhaps to raise funds, is it, or to pare down borrowings, right? So if you look from a net gearing perspective, in December 2015, net gearing was about 229%. That has come down to 134% in 2016. And CIMB Research forecast that number to be 75% this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, recently, Tony Fernandez also made the comment, right, saying, and I quote, "We are going to special dividend those things out." Okay, so you read into that what you will. So apparently, there's a whole pipeline of these kind of assets, these non-core assets from JVs and whatnot, and they are looking to, again, dispose of them.
Yeah, okay, one of them would be T&Co, which of course is kind of a coffee brand, I believe.
Yeah, so it's a local coffee brand and it has been supplying in-flight coffee and tea solutions to Air Asia flights since December 2013. And
solutions there being a pun, I guess? The solution.
Wait, are you seriously not familiar with the T&Co brand? Like, you atas, you never fly Air Asia, that's why.
That's not true. Well, I'm not going to promote any airline.
Well, yeah.
In my interview with Tony last year, he revealed that the group was not far from building an ASEAN-branded coffee, and he was in talks with some international F&B partners to sell its stake in T&Co as well. But at that time, he wouldn't reveal who and how far along. So I guess this could be one non-core asset that they could divest as well if you're looking to go that route.
And also there was that SATS JV deal as well. So AirAsia expected to get about 120 million Singapore dollars. That translates to about 370 million ringgit in proceeds. Also earlier this year, AirAsia received about 100 million US dollars from the sale of its 50% stake in the Aviation Academy, Asian Aviation Center of Excellence. So you have seen a string of such deals, and it looks like there's a whole pipeline of more to come.
Okay, I just want to put a caveat on me not endorsing any airline. I mean, for a fee, I could endorse. I'll endorse anything.
You.
I'll endorse tea bags. I endorse used tea bags for tea and co. Okay.
Shame
now,
on you.
Now, in a related story, this question of business, and of course, AirAsia is expanding business, and the Chinese market.
Yeah, so they have entered into a non-binding term sheet with China Everbright Group and two Singapore-based companies, Plateau Capital and Oxy Capital, for a JV to set up a budget airline in China. Perhaps it could be to divest non-core assets to fund this. Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could try and follow the story.
Okay. The other story in our crosshairs this morning, the question of Asian stocks. They too are flying high and have climbed back to pre-financial crisis highs. Is this an indication of good times to come?
Well, Asian stocks, as you mentioned, Ashra, are coming back to pre-financial crisis highs. And tech industry is actually an industry that saw the most notable market shift since 2007, right? So for the past two decades, technology companies have been supporting players in ASEAN equity markets. And tech firms rarely took the lead when it comes to rallying and all that. It's always in the shadows of giant financial firms. But that trend seems to have changed, and tech stocks are, you know, hot right now.
Yeah, well, they've got a lot more weightage when it comes to some MSCI indices versus the financial sector's weighting on those same indices. Now, a lot of this is embodied in Tencent's rise, okay? Tencent being the guys who make those mobile games, WeChat, if you guys are familiar with that. So that stock alone has gained over, check this out, 2,600% over the past 10 years. 10 years ago, these guys were ranked at about 221, right? 221 most valuable in terms of market cap, right? Now they are number one. Okay, so they have skipped 220 places over the past 10 years. 2,636% gain there. And it's not just isolated to Tencent. When you look at other behemoths like Samsung, of course, Alibaba there as well. Those three guys are definitely driving a lot of the gains in the tech sector. You compare that with, say, 10 years ago. Okay, the top three were Toyota, BHP, and China Mobile. Now, 2017, the top three are Tencent, Samsung, Alibaba. Once again, underlining the sheer importance and the increasing growth that we're seeing in the tech sector.
So now, speaking of component index stocks, what do we have in terms of a local picture, Joyce?
Yeah, so British American Tobacco shares were down yesterday while Pressed Metal Aluminium Holdings hit a record high ahead of potential changes in the component stocks of the FBM KLCI index. And in a note to investors yesterday, AmBank Investment Bank brings up the possibility that BAT, that's British American Tobacco, could be removed from the FBM KLCI as a component stock. And this perhaps could have impacted the stock. That's why, you know, so, and M Investment said that the market cap ratings, our rankings will be determined on the last day of trading of November.
Okay, speaking of the stock market, Monday, Ecovest and Iskander Waterfront City both called for a trading halt, then announced that the proposed merger between Iskander Waterfront Holdings as well as Iskander Waterfront City Berhad is officially off. It's now expected to be replaced with a corporate exercise that involves Ecovest taking over the latter.
Yeah, so this was a rather interesting, you know, because, and we covered this earlier this week on the show as well, but it turns out, according to The Edge here, looks like there could be a reversal of sorts whereby Ecovest will be the ones taking over IWH. Now, you recall, but before this, the idea was for IWH, that's Iskander Waterfront Holdings, to have a lot of the land from Ecovest, also from others, Johor state-linked entities, and also Iskander Waterfront City, you know, all basically amassing their land bank and parking it under Iskander Waterfront, which would give them over 7,000 acres of land bank. But apparently that has been turned on its head.
Yeah, so Tan Sri Lim Kang Hoo now wants to consolidate IWC and Ecovest. The words are, you know, because there's IWC, that's IWH. Mm. So we need to determine that.
And, yeah, Iskander Waterfront City and then Iskander Waterfront Holdings.
Yeah, and Tan Sri Lim is a common major shareholder in both Ecovest and Iskander Waterfront City. And Lim holds 63% in IWH, which in turn owns a 38% in IW City, and Lim owns a 32% stake in EcoVest.
Okay, so but the more interesting drama, of course, is around the merger. It was proposed, it was rumored, people talked about it, and now it's off. The question is why?
Yeah, so the proposed merger said that it would not have yielded the anticipated benefits and would not have fulfilled the conditions set out within the proposed timeline set in the agreement. Perhaps they couldn't come to an agreement, or they couldn't see the benefits of it. And land that was supposed to be injected into the IWH by the Sultan of Johor and Kumpulan Prasarana Rakyat Johor Sendirian Berhad. However, the vendors decided not to participate in the merger exercise.
Mm. I mean, also keep in mind, you know, if the name Iskandar Waterfront rings a bell, this is because earlier, December 2015, they were the ones, along with CREC, that's the China Railway Engineering Corp, IWH and CREC, you know, they were the ones who were awarded that 60% equity stake in Bandar Malaysia. So, you know, as you go about talking about the consolidation of land bank and whatnot, I'm sure shareholders, you know, are kind of mulling what could have been if that Bandar Malaysia deal had remained with IWH.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour then, because we'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market and more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.